You want to bring it in or you want me?
You can bring it in.
All right. What is this called? The Kang Initiative?
Something like... I don't know. What the fuck is this called? Hold on. Let me look. Started here. I don't know.
All right.
Kangapalooza. I don't know.
Avengers Spotlight!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Back to the Bins presents Avengers Spotlight, where we are looking at Kangapalooza.
Or maybe it's Kangchella.
Maybe it's Kangchung. Everybody Kangchung tonight.
Everybody Kangchung. Boy, that would be one big giant party. 3 days of love and drugs in New York.
but it feels like 20 years because of time travel. So, if you haven't figured out, I'm Paul Spataro, and with me is my good buddy, Dr. Bill Robinson.
Yeah.
And we are continuing our journey through, I don't even remember what, you know, we don't remember what this, what it was called, the overall arc, the Kang Initiative, Kangapalooza, whatever it is.
The book titles have been, the stories have been High Ground. I have the High Ground. No More Tomorrows, and this one's Global Presence, so I don't know.
But anyway...
I can't remember.
We don't remember the title of the overall story arc, but I do remember that this is our third issue in, and I am really enjoying this story. So I got to give it that much.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it. Bye-bye.
So we are looking today at Avengers number 43, or... 458, depending on which numbering you want to go with, which has a cover date of August of 2001. Do you have the simple synopsis before we start going through it?
It's simple, but it's not so simple. So, all right, I'm gonna
If it's overly long, there is a simple one on Marvel Wiki.
I just don't like the way they wrote it. But I'll deal with it. So we are reading Avengers number 43. Credits are Kurt Busiek, writer, Alan Davis, pencils, Mark Farmer, inks, Tom Smith, colors, Richard Starkings, and Comic Craft's Albert Deschinsay. That name always trips me up. Letters, Mark Sumerak, assistant editor, and Tom Brevoort, the editor. And I'm assuming the cover is also done by, that looks like Alan Davis. And probably Mr. Farmer. So our story is Global Presence. And this is why I said it's written a little weird. So they have it broken down into flashback and synopsis, which I don't know why they just couldn't have put it in there. So I'm going to read the flashback. Visiting his seemingly deceased son, Vanguard's Visiting his seemingly deceased son, Vanguard's Kremlin crypt, Presence revives him, but becomes trapped in a subatomic reality for months, during which he learns to alter and control the life energy all living things share. Regaining normal size and reuniting with Starlight, because it feels so good, he reveals his plan to convert Russia's people into nuclear. Radioactive life forms sharing a collective mind under his control, and releases a tremendous radiation burst to begin the process. Now, the synopsis proper. While Captain America's squad battles the president's radioactive zombie army in Russia, Jack of Hearts, knowing that he's really smart, and a wasp-led squad defend Rollo Bay from Atuma's forces, including the mind-controlled giant Torg, during which battle Hank Pym resumes his long-abandoned Yellow Jacket identity. In China, Warbird's Avengers squad forces the invading deviants to retreat underground. Back in Russia, President's consort Starlight suggests letting the Avengers go, but Presence decides to convert them, blasting them with radiation. In Rollo Bay, Triathlon frees Torg from Atuma's control. Jack of Hearts knocks the bewildered giant into the sea, and Torg abandons the fight. Atuma's army retreats, and Wasp's Avengers regroup. Again, I'm going to read it like it's written. Award Jack of Hearts Avengers membership. Oh, okay. I guess that does make sense. That sounds familiar. And recruit Stingray to sever... Sorry, I just went on a deep tangent. In the show Stingray, wasn't that the guy that... that character actor guy? The guy, his buddy? Oh, my God. He was in Breaking Bad. He was in... Focus, Bill. Yeah, Stingray. That was like with the guy... And recruit Stingray to sever Atuma's supply lines. While Kang... There's a lot going on in this book. While Kang and Scarlet Centurion monitor the global chaos they have fomented, such as AIM attacking Africa... I fought the AIM down in Africa. I fought with AIM. And the wizard menacing Sao Paulo. Do I get a song for Sao Paulo?
I don't know. It sounds like something maybe Gloria Estefan should do. I see the lights in Sao Paulo.
Don't cry for me, Sao Paulo. Kang instructs the Centurion to start recruiting soldiers from this time period to augment their forces. In China, the Deviants trigger an earthquake that plunges Warbird's Avengers into the Deviants' underground realm. In Rollo Bay, Yellow Jacket collapses and starts to fade away. Yeah, there's too easy of a song there. And in Russia...
Yakov Smirnov should be doing this one. In Russia, do this.
What a country. Only Firebird and Thor remain to oppose the presence, who has converted the other Avengers into radioactive zombies. Not uptight, not unattractive. Turn me on tonight. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I don't know that one. Oh, radioactive. What? Is that Imagine Dragons?
That's the firm. Well, that's another. No, I was doing an old one. You know, the firm.
I've heard of the firm. I don't really know the firm.
Turn me on tonight. I'm a radioactive. And then they do like a name. I'm a radioactive.
I am probably familiar with that.
That was an 80s thing.
I'll accept that.
So, all right. That's my disjointed synopsis.
Should get to the real issue, I guess.
The listeners expect no less, because they'll never get any more from me.
I think you give the listeners exactly what they expect.
Or what they deserve. Oh, sorry.
So we'll start off with the cover. Extremely well drawn, as I'm going to say, like, for virtually every page in this issue.
Because we were gushing last time because we peeked at this book last time.
So it shows...
art's even better.
It basically has every adversary coming towards... Like, as if they're marching towards the reader. with the presence in the front, and then we have a couple of deviants on the right, and behind them we see one of the radioactive, Russians, zombies.
Then radioactive Russians.
Sorry. Well, they are Russians.
I know, but I hadn't made that connection.
And then,
I mean, I hadn't come up with that symmetry.
On the left, I wanted to say it's not a tumor, but it is a tumor.
It's a tumor.
And then behind him, is that that's not Krang.
I think that's the guy that's with him that's using the orb, maybe. Well, not sure.
Yeah, no,
maybe
I think it might
Krang.
Be.
Maybe that is Krang.
No, Krang just has the bald head. I'm trying to think of who had that green and yellow thing. Maybe the guy who was from World War II, who the invaders fought. I can't even remember, but it's probably the guy with the orb that you're talking about. And then behind him, I guess, is the giant sea monster thing that they're fighting during it.
Yeah, Torg.
Torg. And now, just as an aside, when I read this and I was saying, who the heck is this Torg? He apparently appeared in issue number 55 of The Submariner, the original, the original 1960s-70s series, not the Golden Age series. But it is a Bill Everett written and drawn story. And I just kind of paged through it quick, but I didn't read it. But I think what I'm going to do is the next time we take random books to do an episode, I think I'm going to do that one.
Okay.
So we will be revisiting Torg at some point in the not too, too distant future. The interesting thing about... Go ahead.
Atuma's aide in the book, his name is Serestus, the guy controlling Torg.
So that, I mean, I guess that must be him, because everybody else on the cover is, you know, somebody that they're dealing with to some extent, although the deviants are not identified by name, I don't believe.
No, but the deviant leader's name is Dulpus. Sorry.
But, you know, I would think more likely it's him. But the interesting thing to me about the cover is, other than the top box on the left-hand corner, you don't see any Avengers on this cover. It's all just their opposition. But I think it's a good, first of all, again, very well drawn. And I think it's a good reflection of the story that we're getting here, because what the story is building up to is the odds are just kind of insurmountable and there's just so much to deal with all at once. So I think the cover is kind of representative of that, even though there's not a scene in the book that has this particular image.
Well, then Kang's impressed with that during the story, too, because he's like, oh, they're responding better than I thought they would. They're much better organized with the global threat. Blah, blah, blah. Maybe my plans aren't as good as I thought it were.
Well, we'll get to that. Let's start paging through it, and we'll get to when he gets to that, because I have some thoughts, or, you know, hopefully I didn't. As is my norm, I didn't sit and write notes about my thoughts on this, but I had a lot of thoughts as I was reading through it, and hopefully they will coalesce and I will be able to actually say them and not finish the episode and then say, damn, I didn't mention this.
Darn, but, that's the end.
Yeah, exactly. Too late. So we open up with, now what's her name? Because I always think Red Guardian, you know.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking too, but yeah, she's Starlight. Or wait, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're correct on that, Starlight. But she's his wife, right? Presence.
Yes.
And they're standing over Vanguard's body, encased in a viewing coffin, much like Snow.
Yeah, he's
Snow
lying
White.
In state.
didn't they have Snow White in a coffin like that? The Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah. Waiting to be kissed.
And then I said I'm going to say it every page, and I may well do that, but I'm just looking at the artwork here, and I'm loving every bit of it. I think it's just so well drawn, and it's like the coloring. You know, I guess this is when they got the coloring from Malibu. So it's like a computerized coloring.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. But I remember this was, it was like the late 90s, so yeah, this would, yeah.
But the thing is, it doesn't look like, sometimes once they got that coloring method, they were trying to go for like a film noir look on things, and it, you know, they went with that muddy look, And I'm not a huge fan of the muddy look on, you know, when it's overused. You know, when it's used appropriately, it's fine. But sometimes they just overdo it. So this doesn't have that. This has got, you know, like a... It's darker when it should be. It's brighter when it should be. And it never really looks muddy. So I think that's very cool. Anyway, you know, they're standing over the body in state. And they're talking about it. And then the presence apparently shrinks down to like microscopic size and enters Vanguard's body, bringing him back to life. And I'm not sure if he's reviving him or somehow just animating him.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it says that he... So I guess that he found a trace of energy inside him that and kept him alive, a faint spark of life glowing weakly at his core. And then he added his power to that, and it says that it revived him.
So, okay, so he's not and, just and, animating
and,
him.
And, yeah, and flared to life once more. And then I guess he, like, then he was trapped in that state because he was weak, and then he made another wondrous discovery, which...
Yeah, they don't tell us what the wondrous discovery
well,
is.
Well, I guess he kind of does, because when he comes back out later, months later, you know, he's like, you know, he said he found a way to, you know, I could change Russian people, make them a new form of, so maybe that's what he found. That's what I'm assuming.
When he formulated his plan.
Yes. My evil, well, not in his mind, evil plan.
Yeah, so I mean... It's got the Borg / Night of the Living Dead zombies feel about it, but I guess it's kind of meant to be a commentary on communism. You know, the individual mind doesn't matter. The individual wants and needs don't matter. It's everybody for the good of the state kind of thing. You know, I guess, you know, this is communism taken to its ultimate level.
Yeah.
And then, so that from there, we cut to the present day, where the Avengers are fighting the zombies. Now, it appears that all the zombies need to do is touch them to zombify them. So, the battle almost seems a little out of sorts to an extent, because... Like, how do you even stop that? I don't know. You know, at some point, they're going to touch you.
Yeah.
But they're fighting them off. Now, on that splash page with the title and all, down the bottom right, is the ground meant to look like a skull?
There's a couple times in here where something looks like a skull. I mean, they're like in a radioactive zone in... Oh, I can't remember where exactly.
It's the Forbidden Zone. It's where the sacred
Siberia,
scrolls are.
Yeah.
You blew it up. You animals. Damn
so
you
it's all. Twisted.
Damn you all to hell.
Oh. Yeah, that does look a little bit like a... let me see if I could find the other time I thought there was a cloud that looked like a skull.
Well, we'll keep going through, so when we get to it, point it out.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll...
So... Quicksilver saves Firebird from getting taken while they're all battling, and then he comes up with the idea of getting some sort of anti-radiation foam. You know, Thor comments about how his time with the Inhumans has served him well, and he thinks like a leader. And Quicksilver, with some obvious confidence issues, says, "Yes, I learned about tactics, Thor, in the time that I was becoming a failure as a husband and a man." And I'm wondering if that commentary isn't meant to be against the other side, you know, with where we, you know, where we praise our military and, you know, to say, oh, that's not the right way either. I don't know.
Or maybe Pietro's got a bit of imposter syndrome.
Yes, which is something that is not in the episode, but we were discussing that particular term, which I had never heard of. A year ago, I had never heard of it. I heard of it, you know, a while back, and I think it's very, very common. It's where, you know, basically you hit a position in life or in business where you start feeling you haven't earned it, but that people think you have and that you're an imposter in the role you're in. Very cool concept and probably
and
very prevalent.
This, You're waiting for the sword of Damocles to fall on your head.
Yes.
Or Damocles' base.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, and the picture I was thinking of a skull in clouds was in a different book I read.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Right, well, I could see where you could mix that up. excuse me. So then we cut from that Avengers contingent over to one which has, who's in this one? The Wasp, Triathlon, Scarlet Witch, Jack of Hearts. Is that everyone? Oh, and Goliath was there, and eventually Yellowjacket will be back.
Yeah.
And they're fighting Torg.
Torg, actually, we get a actual SWAT. Swoot.
A SWAT, yes. SWAT swoot.
When he smacks Jack of Hearts. Poof. And it really smarts.
And they kind of come to the conclusion that, Yellowjacket comes riding in and he's singing
Here
the Mighty
I
Mouse
come
song.
To save the day. Okay. Yeah.
So it's definitely something going on. And I started saying, you know, in my mind, I started thinking,
is he going crazy?
Are they going back to, you know, are they just going back to the well with this stuff, you know, where now he's crazy and, you know, which was like when Yellowjacket first appeared, he kind of had a multiple personality thing going on.
Quick history for anybody who doesn't know why it would be a disconcerting that Yellowjacket is here and that he's acting crazy is because when he originally appeared, nobody knew who he was except Jan, the Wasp, knew who he was, and she marries him. This was like, what, Avengers 2?
60?
18-ish?
No, Avengers 60.
No.
When they first get married? Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what am I thinking?
And the Circus of Crime
then?
Appears.
Oh, that's when he's fighting Egghead. And I think that's when he goes on trial. I'm thinking of when he goes on trial for killing Egghead. Then Egghead kind of set him up.
Spoilers, Egghead didn't die.
He got better. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, man, some Avengers guy I am. Yeah. But yeah, well, I just didn't have the right time frame. But yeah, she marries him and they're all like, what?
Yeah, because to them, he's just the new guy who came out of the woodwork.
Yeah, so, but she knew it was him, and, you know, Hank Pym's always, unfortunately, had issues.
But, yeah, but, it seems like he went from that, and then he had the rage, and then he was humbled. And now for them to kind of go back to this, I was thinking, I don't know if that's like a progression of the character. But as I was reading on, I started thinking, time travel, huh? Maybe there's something to do with that. The shot at the bottom has Atuma with his aide, and that is definitely the guy from the cover.
Oh, yeah.
Although he looks older.
Older, he looks way older.
Time travel? I'm thinking no on that one, but just the same. It's definitely the guy because you could see kind of the headdress and all that we see on the cover. And he's got the orb in his hands, which he's using to control Torg. And he says, you know, this is difficult. I must concentrate.
He says, shut up! I'm thinking here.
Shut the F up, Atuma.
such a headache.
We cut from there to China, where a contingent with Ms. Marvel, Black Widow, Vision, She-Hulk are battling the Deviants. They basically hold them back, and then the Vision comes over to Ms. Marvel and asks, you know, how troubled she is based on the fact that she realized that the Scarlet Centurion is Marcus. See Avengers issue 200. And what I like about that is a lot of the writers present the Vision as just, you know, like an... It's either he's totally human in the way... Human in the way he acts... Or he's totally robotic. And right. This, to me, is showing him kind of to be both. He's insightful, but he's still kind of robotic in some ways, which is, I think, the best way to present him, actually. Oh, and there's also Silverclaw with him, who is a character who, I mean, along with Triathlon, they're two characters who I don't know what became of them, so I need to read more to find out. So then we cut back to Mother Russia, where Quicksilver has gotten the anti-radiation foam. And you see Captain America, Firebird, and Pietro are all firing them at the creatures. I think Black Knight is also, but Thor is just using his hammer to... Hammer time. Just going off on a tangent. I think it was Hammer's second album, which I never owned any Hammer albums, I am proud to say. But his second album was titled something like Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. And I thought, boy, what an ego on this guy. Anyway.
Hey, I had MC Hammer pants. I used to dance in the club. Yes, I did. I only had one pair, but yeah. They were comfortable.
I did not.
They weren't quite as billowy, but yeah, they were there.
I could just picture that. It's
they had like
it's
a
quite,
black,
quite the mental image.
They had a black, it was a black and darkish blue, I don't want to say like leopard spotted, but pattern, not quite camouflage, not animal pattern, somewhere in between. And yeah, I would dance in the club.
And I will,
I'm not saying it was a proud time.
I will write that all off.
We did things.
I will write that all off to young Bill wanting to meet women. And that's the only that's the only way I can justify it.
Hey, if it'd been the '70s, I would have had the big suit.
You would have the white suit.
I would have the white suit. We could tell, by the way. I mean, in the '80s I did have the Don Johnson outfits too. I had all the deck shoes with the pastel jackets and
I was less of a slave to trends, but I can't say
that
made me any more successful in the young Paul meeting women phase.
I didn't stay in one trend because one day I would just be regular nondescript clothes, and another day I would have jeans with holes in them with a heavy metal T-shirt, and then you know the next day I would be you know Don Johnson or looking like Magnum PI, you know. So I was a chameleon.
I've been fairly consistent over the years. I've always been a T-shirt guy. I did have the denim vest at one time.
I had the Venom, the Gap jacket, you know, the denim jacket.
I had a members only jacket at one time.
I had a black trench coat before certain people ruined it for everyone.
Oh, I had a black trench coat in the '80s that I thought was so cool when I used to go out wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So as the Russian zombie fighting Avengers start to do well holding back the zombies, the presence and what's her face appear. Starlight.
Good morning, Starlight.
Isn't Starlight a character on The Boys?
Yes, it is. Yes, she is.
There you go. They appear and say, basically, what does he say? I originally intended my gift for Russia alone, yet, yes, but you know, I have rethought that we will not be safe, not left in peace, not while any oppose us, and he shoots out some sort of energy rays at the Avengers at that point. And then we cut back to Torg.
Yeah. It's not... Imagine that. Communism decided to spread.
Yeah, I think we got a message there, too, or a commentary on politics.
But don't all political systems want to spread anyway? They're not just happy with their own little corner of the world. So we're not picking on communism, people.
It's not like we don't try and nation build ourselves. We do.
Marshall Plan, anyone?
So we cut to Torg, where... what's this that Yellow Jacket's... It's like he's
writing. Why isn't he just flying around?
He's writing a mini Legion of Doom headquarters.
No. No, it's a Atuma that's on the mini Legion of Doom.
Oh, thing. It is a Atuma. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it,
that's...
Yeah, it is a Atuma.
It is a Atuma.
Morikovich, you are a Atuma.
Yeah, Yellow Jacket's riding on a little yellow cycle. Or jacket cycle. And they make a determination about the orb so that Triathlon goes and takes the orb from the lackey. And that wakes Torg up. And he's like, hey, what's this?
The hell?
What is Torg doing here? But then his being awake isn't necessarily a positive, except they knock him into the water where he just, I guess, leaves.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Yellow Jacket and Wasp talking, and he's acting very cocky, and Jan leaves off, we'll need to talk later, Hank. But right now, and then they make Jack of Hearts an Avenger at that point. Again, the artwork so good on this page. I would love to own the original art on this page. Especially Jack of Hearts' face on the second panel. Really sharp looking.
I thought that too. Did you notice? I don't think it's a mistake. The panel above that with Yellow Jacket where he's like, no sweat.
Yeah, he's acting like he's nauseous.
Get some air. But he's got like a... I don't know if it's a coloring error, but it doesn't look like he's got a spot of drool coming from his chin.
That's possible. I can't tell for sure if that's what it is. But very possible. So I guess they give Jack of Hearts a field commission.
Yeah. We'll get your credentials later. What? We're going to make you Avenger. What could possibly go wrong? Kaboom.
Yeah, that's not for a little while yet. So then that has the arrival of Stingray. Stingray might have one of the coolest costumes ever.
Yeah. Although, is it really... If you're not in the water, how hard is it to walk around in that thing? I mean,
But it's made for underwater.
So when he comes out of the water, it's like, oh my God, this is so freaking heavy.
Well, I would think, you know, if you want to make it really functional for in and out of the water, when you come out of the water, the wings should kind of retract.
Shrink, yeah. And he must have those the same eye hole things that Rorschach has in Watchmen, or see through material, because there's no, like, his face is just an arrow.
Yeah, he's got one way mirror face, one way mirror mask.
He's got a mirror mask.
So then, you know, he's agreed to help them to make sure that Atuma and his crew stay back. But Kang is watching this, and this is where he says about how they've adapted to cope much better than he expected them to.
Mm-hmm. Wait. I just want to back up and say Triathlon is all buttered. Yeah, all warm.
Oh, because they...
Big
yeah,
for the new guy right. This time, anyway. It's like, geez, man.
Well, wasn't Triathlon forced upon them? I thought that the
maybe,
you know, like the government said they had to make him an Avenger.
Was it Guy Rich again?
Guy Rich, or yeah, I think so. Might have been. I'm not sure. Mm. And I think that, you know, when he came out and his origin was kind of unknown and he was unknown and they didn't totally trust him, which is kind of contrary to what we saw in the early Avengers issues when they made Wonder Man an Avenger and he turned on them, and then they made Swordsman an Avenger and he turned on them.
Yeah. But, well, Triathlon, I mean, he's tied to the 3D man from the 50s.
Right.
So, but that's another... It's another tale for another...
That's
time.
Another spotlight right there.
Yeah. All right, back to Kang saying, so, man, these are fighting better than I thought they should be.
And Marcus questions the fact that they're letting the others fight their battles for them, and Kang indicates, well, you know, that's the wise way to do it. You let them weaken themselves. Plus, if we come at them, they're going to, you know, it's going to give them a reason to unite. What do you think of the shot on the top of the I don't even know what page number it is, but on the top of the page where it's kind of the close-up of Kang's face. What do you think of that look?
I'm more concerned, because I don't remember how this goes, I'm more concerned with Marcus looking at him saying, "Yes, Father," and then later at the bottom of the page, he's looking at him saying, "Yes, Father."
Yeah, kind of looking back over his shoulder.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah. Like, I don't remember if Marcus is going to betray him.
That's what it feels like from this.
Yeah.
Because he looks like he's not agreeing with what's going on, but he's going along with it because it's his father.
Yeah. And then Kang just looks oh so full of himself.
Well, I think that's true to the character, though.
Well, yeah, but even more so because, you know, now he's fighting them. I don't know if it's in the back of his, you know, because his one thing was, oh, I can never beat them in the 20th century. Oh, it's the one era of time I couldn't conquer. So now he's in the 21st century, so everything seems to be going his way.
Everything's coming up, Kang. So then we cut from them back to China, where the Avengers contingent is fighting the Deviants. And they have some kind of an earthquake. And then we find our... what is it? Five heroes kind of back to back to back to back in the center with a deviant army coming at them from all sides.
Yeah.
So you are in my domain now. Let's see how well you fare against us this time. And cut away to Canada. Mm-hmm. Where the Wasp is talking to... what's that liaison's name? I don't recall.
Dwayne something?
Yeah.
I can't remember his last name.
He was the one who replaced Gyrick and was far more reasonable, at least initially.
Hold on, let me look in the book. It should be here in the book as a guest star.
And while you're looking that up...
Dwayne Freeman, right at the top of the page.
There you go.
Last seen in Avengers 38, next in the annual.
So, you know, they're kind of strategizing. She's saying, oh, we could send Hercules to San Paulo.
Hercules.
He says, the Human Torch is already on his way. Now, are we talking Johnny Storm or the original Human Torch there?
That's a good question. I don't remember what the disposition was of the Human Torch at this time. Of
I'm
the
not sure
50s
either.
Torch.
Yeah, I'm not
sure. I mean, well, actually, 30s, no, 40s Torch. Well, wasn't he already, they had already resolved all that stuff in the West Coast Avengers, so...
Yeah, I'm not sure when this falls, where this falls in his existence. So, I'm not sure which one they're talking about there.
I think I saw guest stars, Human Torch, I think it's Johnny Storm. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. No, no.
Oh, it says it in the wiki?
Yeah, they say Human Torch, well, not wiki, but in my book, in my the official index to the Marvel Universe, Avengers. Yeah, it says Human Torch and in parentheses Storm behind the scenes between FF49/50.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So while she's talking to Dwayne, the Yellow Jacket collapses.
Dwayne Dibley! You get the part, as you've seen. Red Dwarf.
So she goes over to him and she's caring for him, and then she says, his arm, he's turning transparent, starting to fade away, which makes me think, time travel?
The first thing I thought, what played in my head was the Back to the Future music. You know, the little stinger. I was like, what?
That could be. And now we cut back to Russia again, where Firebird is on the ground. She's saying she's alive, but the radiation level should have been more than enough to. And then she sees Thor. So I guess Firebird's powers, because I know it has to do with microwaves, maybe it allows her to absorb the energy.
I think you're doing the wrong... You're thinking Firestar?
Oh, I am. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. I don't remember what her powers are.
But I don't know why she's not affected by it. But anyway.
Well, because there was something where she was poisoned. So she's got some immunity to poison, but I don't remember why and what her power set is.
I wish I was immune to poison.
But then you couldn't get drunk.
That's right. I don't like being drunk. Anyway, you know, she and Thor start just talking, and then all of a sudden a big green radioactive hand punches Thor in the throat. And he's being held aloft at this point by Captain America, who is now radioactive.
He's green with envy.
And then we see behind him the radioactive versions of Quicksilver and the Black Knight. And Thor says, Captain America, dead? Avengers transformed into these undead monstrosities? And Kang is laughing, watching this, saying, I must admit, there is such joy in a campaign so successful. Now, this is where it's... gets to what we're going to do next, because it says next, don't miss this year's Avengers Annual on sale next month to find out what's wrong with Yellowjacket, and then be back here for Avengers 44, Down Among the Dead Men. Don't miss it, we'd miss you. So we are going to do the Avengers Annual next, because I want to know what's going on with Yellowjacket, even though I think the story is kind of changing its focus. So we're going to be kind of leaving Kang on the in the background for an episode. I don't think it's going to progress this particular storyline.
I think there's three stories in the annual,
and we will decide once we read them all if we're going to do one, two, or three of them. But we'll get to that next time.
In the letters page, there was stuff that was talking about like where certain people were from last issue, and actually they addressed some things in this issue. I don't know if you happened to see the letters page.
I didn't read the letters page. I saw it, and I paged right by it.
Yeah, but it was like, Avengers Files, issue 42, page 1, the crisis in Siberia has been going on for a couple of issues, and then there's, you know, blah, 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 page this, page that. Talks about, you know, where Presence is from. Yeah, so it's a nice little breakdown of certain things, you know, if like people had questions. Before we get too far from where we left off here, it's a nice touch that the, because I don't think it was doing it before. Yeah, it wasn't. And I don't know if it's because the Avengers had their helmets on, but that shouldn't have really mattered. Or maybe because the presidents unleashed such a big burst of radiation. You notice that Firebird's eyes and teeth are green. And first I thought, oh, well, maybe she was poisoned. But then you look down at Thor's, what's normally white or silver on him, is now reflecting an eerie green glow. Like there's an... like they went the extra mile and actually colored, you know, colored things green.
You're talking about on the second to last page?
Yes.
I think that's just kind of a green glow that's coming from the radioactive.
But they didn't do that earlier when they were fighting. Like it's like you would have the green. You know, the people that were green. The background was its normal color. And then, you know, the Avengers were their normal colors, but now it's like somebody went the extra mile, and because of that back, you know, the background, it's just something I picked up on.
Yeah, it's kind of like got a greenish tint to
tinge.
It. Yeah. And I guess if I'm going to try and read into that, it's probably based on the fact of their proximity to the radioactive parties. They're closer, they're on top of them, whatever.
Maybe, yeah.
Because, you know, so. I commented earlier about how, you know, they needed to keep away from making contact with these parties to keep from being transformed. And so you could, even, you know, based on the pictures, you could kind of make an assumption that they were keeping some distance between them. But now they're right on top of them. And, you know, the radioactive Captain America is lifting Thor up by the throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess...
But yet Thor still has time to talk.
It cannot be. Captain America dead? Anyway. I love this issue. I thought this was great. This was riveting to me. So I'm just going to say the cover is merely an A. The interior art and story are A+. Mm-hmm. That's my rating.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I think this is excellent. Now, on the letters page, there is a comment that says, next issue, all hell breaks loose, and Kurt welcomes guest penciler Manuel Garcia. It's not his fault, we swear. So after we've gushed and gushed over this artwork, we're going to see next time whether we gush or not. Well, actually, we're going to see it two issues from now because we're going to have
That's issue 44. So next time, we're going to have Ivan Reis.
For the annual. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading both. So we will get to those. We will get to those in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Hold on. Is there three stories? Yes, there's three stories. Here is the... Yeah, it's hard the way they break these things down. Because they've got, I see where they say first story, second story. Or actually, they don't even say, like, then it's a second story, but then they never say third story. It's weird. This book is sometimes doesn't make sense. But anyway. You know what? I'll have to read. I have not read the annual, so.
Nor have I.
A while.
But I'm looking forward to reading it.
Ivan Reis is on one for the credits for one story, which I think is our story. So, and the other one is Ian Churchill. And then another, let's see if there's. Yeah, I don't see any other artists for the other stuff.
I haven't even looked at that yet, but my inclination is if they aren't directly related in some way, that we just pass them right by.
Mm.
But we'll see. We'll see what we get. And we get what we get, and we don't get upset.
You should take it and like it.
I can't even go there. What?
Issue 44 will have Bob Layton doing the inks.
All right, well, that may bring it close to this level then. But we will see. We will make a determination as time goes on.
Oh, and actually, it looks like we're gonna have that team, Garcia and Layton, through 45, 46, and 47.
Well, I hope they're good then, because this is, you know, we've been a little spoiled by what we've gotten so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, A plus on this artwork. I just think this, I could not find any fault with this thing at all. So that's where we are.
Wow. This is going to go for a while because 48 is, then we switch artists then. I won't tease who that is until we get there. I'm trying to see how far, and this goes into 49. There's still Kang. Is 49 the wrap up? Could be 49. 49 or 50 might be the wrap-up. It's hard to tell when you're reading here. Villains. I don't see Kang listed as a villain, so I think 49 might be the end. So we got a ways to go. We got lots to do.
Darn,
we
still got that's the end.
But we'll be back.
We will be. And better than
back
ever.
Back to the future. Will Yellowjacket be back?
We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our show, and we hope you'll continue to join us each and every week for more good old-fashioned comic book back issue awesomeness. You can contact Back to the Bins to leave feedback, comments, questions, suggestions, and criticisms via email at bins@twotruefreaks.com or by joining the Back to the Bins group on Facebook. Back to the Bins is a proud affiliate of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, which you may find at www.twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is a registered trademark of DiManzo Corp of Milan, Italy. All rights reserved. Please take a moment to stop by the twotruefreaks.com site and check out their many other fine podcasts, won't you? Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
Darn, that's the end.